Hey there, it's David.
If you're still with me, then that means either you're already a follower of Jesus, simply looking for deeper insight, you're looking to learn and grow in your journey of faith, or you're someone who hasn't made up their mind just yet. You like what you're hearing. That's why you haven't stopped listening. You're toying with an idea of faith in Jesus, yet the jury is still out. Regardless of where you find yourself right here, right now, I say welcome. Welcome to the jungle. Welcome to the machine. Welcome to the team. The fractured, faulty, sin-stained human being that is simply trying to find his or her way. Team. There's no place better for you to be than right here, right now. So, let's go, island hopping. There are so many questions associated with Jesus. Not the historical figure, for nobody can argue that Jesus never existed. Nobody can argue that Jesus didn't have a 3-year ministry that encompassed all the areas around the Sea of Galilee. Nobody can even argue that Jesus wasn't crucified. For Tacitus, who was widely regarded as one of the greatest Roman historians along with several other historians, they all reference the execution of Jesus by Pontius Pilate. There's so many questions associated with Jesus because of the resurrection. Even though it's been recorded that some 500 people witnessed Jesus alive after the crucifixion. Yet, some doubt this testimony because it's found in the Bible. And if one doesn't believe in the truth of the Bible, then why would one believe in the truth of this testimony? But bigger than all of this is the question of why the entire world is saved only through faith in Jesus. Why isn't salvation offered to the whole world in different ways, for different people living in different places? Why is it that one man who lived in what was widely considered to be the backwoods, the boondocks of the Roman Empire, why is he the only way to salvation for the entire world? All important questions that each of us must wrestle with on this island. I guess tied in with all of those questions are the much deeper questions like, what are we to do with the fact that there have been generations of people who have never learned anything about Jesus? Thus, there seems to have been generations of people who've died without a right relationship with their Creator. Are there really people who, by no fault of their own, are eternally separated from God because they never knew of, let alone believed in, Jesus? These are all important questions, and they all beg your attention. Unless, of course, you have no intention of ever committing your life to the Lordship of Jesus. As you consider these questions, you must consider a historical perspective. For all of these questions center around a perspective that has developed through the seemingly exclusionary practices that have been developed and maintained in the Western world over the centuries since Jesus' death and resurrection. A perspective that has been developed in support of the teaching that a faith in Jesus is the only way to have a right relationship with God. The only way to be saved from this sin-stained existence, both now and for all eternity. Which, by the way, is the truth. But are, and when I say are, I mean Western Christianity's representation of this truth through the generations, unfortunately, hasn't been graceful or compassionate. Which, in turn, has spawned all of our questions about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the light. The only way for someone to have a right relationship with God. The only way to be saved. Instead of following the example of Jesus and meeting people where they are and walking with them, we've opted for a we know something that you don't know, thus we're better than you model. Which, in turn, has morphed itself into a religious system of confrontation and conquest. Since the resurrection of Jesus, we've made salvation a competition to be won. We've imprinted a colonization mentality over and above the good news of Jesus. As opposed to simply sharing the good news of salvation for all people, thus, we've created a competition perspective with a focus on winning over and above walking. The result of all of this has been a questioning of who's in and who's out, over and above the question of how can I live with others as a follower of Jesus. Now, don't get excited, for I don't have all the answers. I don't even have all the questions. But what I do have is an offer of exploration. Not a colonization offer of I'm better than you because I know something that you don't know, but a walking offer of I've learned the greatest news in the world and I want to share it with you. You and I can't change what has been, but together, through learning and growing, we can transform what is. What I do have is faith, and I want to share that faith with you so that you can make your own decision. You can make your own choice so that you can decide to want to follow Jesus. Well, in order to start this conversation, I want you to understand my reality, my perspective, how I see the world. I believe that all human beings are sinful. I believe that we are born sinful and we live in a sinful world. I believe that all of creation is groaning in the pain of sin. Thus, I believe that everyone is already condemned because of the sin we're all full of, along with our existence in this sinful world. One doesn't have to look much further than the local news in order to reason that, left to our own devices, we will mess everything up. So, how do I define the sin that I believe we're all full of? The sin that's condemning all of us to death? The sin that permeates all of creation? Sin is anything that separates us from God. Anything that breaks my relationship with God is what I consider sin. I believe that I have sin in my life. I believe that I have thoughts, feelings, attitudes, and biases that break my relationship with God. For these thoughts, feelings, attitudes, and biases are translated into my actions. They are a part of what I do because of the fact that in this present reality, they represent who I am. Doesn't sound like good news yet, does it? Well, along with all of this, I believe that God desires to have an intimate, personal, loving, caring, and nurturing relationship with me. I believe that God desires for all of creation to be made right, for all of creation to be just as God intended in the very beginning. In other words, I believe I matter to God. Yet, my above confessed sin is preventing that relationship with God from becoming a reality. For my sin continues to separate me from God, thus preventing God's will from being done in my life, preventing me from being all that God has created me to be right here, right now. Yes, God loves me. Yes, I matter to God. But my sin makes it impossible for God to hang out with me. For God can't exist in the presence of sin. Just like the light and the dark can't occupy the same space at the same time. It's either one or the other. God can't occupy a space that is filled with sin. Not that God doesn't want to. It's just that God can't. Just like we can't have darkness existing in the light. Thus, proving that since we're all created in the image of God, we will always figure out how to do what we want to do, God has figured out how to overcome our sin problem. God has given each and every single one of us a way out, a way in, a way up, a way around, however you want to describe it. God has given us all a way to overcome our sin problem. But God's solution still requires your participation through faith. Well, speaking of sin, I want to share something with you. Something that's essential in helping you find the answers for which you're looking. My sin isn't your sin. Yes, you and I might struggle with the same things, the same thoughts, feelings, attitudes, and biases, and these same things separate each of us from God. But we also struggle with different things, different thoughts, different feelings, different attitudes, and different biases. What I struggle with, what separates me from God, might not be the same thing with which you struggle and separates you from God. You and I will have different things that separate us from God. No judgment, no condemnation, just getting real. Yet, really, none of that matters. The specifics of my sin or the specifics of your sin just don't matter, for all sin separates us from God, no matter what the sin might be. It's us humans who have created a hierarchy of sins. Murder is way worse than lying, and stealing from your friends and family is way worse than stealing from a stranger. To God, none of that matters, because all sin breaks our relationship with God. All sin, regardless of how major or minor we think it might be, separates us from God. And let's be honest, defining sin in my life and your life is a matter of perspective. There might be something in my life that's separating me from God, yet in your life, that very same thing doesn't separate you from God. There's no all-inclusive laundry list of sins that covers us all. The only thing that we all share is the title of our laundry lists, things that separate me from God. There's only you and your relationship with God, and there's only me and my relationship with God. And I'm going to get real, it's a full-time job trying to deal with my laundry list. I don't have time to make judgments about your laundry list. Well, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Please understand that what I'm about to share is for the purpose of an illustration. I'm simply trying to make the point that not everyone struggles with the same sin. Yet to God, all sin is the same, for all sin separates us from God, and God hates anything that separates us from them. I can go to the Hard Rock Resort and Casino for a night. I can see a show. I can eat a good meal, and I can gamble with the budgeted amount of money that I set aside with which to gamble. Whether I come out a winner or a loser is of no matter. For either way, I'll go home, back to my life, and be no worse for the wear. Yet, while I'm there, I might be sitting right next to a guy who just lost his family's mortgage payment, and he's overwhelmed with guilt and is desperately trying to figure out how to win it back, or worse yet, how to commit some kind of crime to get it back. For him, gambling definitely has separated him from God, for it's become a little G God that he's worshiping and serving. For me, gambling is just something fun to do every now and again. I hope you see the point I'm trying to make. Since all sin is the same, separating us from God, and since I've already confessed that we are all sinful, that means that we're all in the same boat. Regardless of the specific sin, we're all separated from God from the get-go. All of humanity has a basic problem. We're all separated from God. What's important above and beyond pointing out the speck in your eye is dealing with the log in my eye. And when I say that, I'm also saying that what's important above and beyond pointing out the speck in someone else's eye is you dealing with the log in your own eye. All of this forms my understanding of the basic human need, salvation from sin, having our broken relationships with God repaired, being saved from the condemnation in which we all live because of our sinful lives, the ability to overcome our sinfulness and have a right relationship with God. But why is it so important, so vital to have a right relationship with God? Why would anyone care about having a right relationship with God? Well, heaven someday, for one, is a very powerful motivator. Who doesn't want to spend all of eternity in heaven? And someone who dies still living condemned by their sin, not saved, separated from God, won't enter heaven. Yet for me, heaven someday isn't a persuasive enough argument for faith in Jesus all on its own. I also don't want to miss out on all that my life can be right here, right now. For me, heaven someday has never been enough motivation on its own to live as a follower of Jesus. Living a complete life, being who I was created to be with Jesus as my example of how to be saved right here, right now, along with eternity in heaven, is the perfect amount of motivation for my life. For me, it's a both and. I have the possibility and the opportunity through faith in Jesus to be all that God has created and intended me to be right here, right now. Because through faith in Jesus, I can have a right relationship with God right here, right now. I can have an intimate, personal relationship with the one who created me and has gifted me with this life, all without my sinfulness getting in the way. And I can spend eternity in heaven where there is no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, and no more sin. That all sounds great, doesn't it? But you're asking yourself, how can I have a right relationship with God so that I can be all that I was intended to be right here, right now? And how can I spend eternity in heaven? Here comes a churchy catchphrase. Are you ready? We're all saved by grace through faith in Jesus. You aren't saved because of what you do. You're saved because who you are has been transformed by God. The problem has been presented, sin, and the solution has been given, Jesus. And now you get to live without the problem being a problem. For when the Father looks at you as a follower of Jesus, all that he sees is his Son. Because of Jesus, God no longer sees who you were. God only sees who you are, a child of God. So, being that every one of us is in the same boat, separated from God because of sin, and being that God desires to be in an intimate personal relationship with all of us, we need a solution, a way to overcome our sinfulness and not be separated from God. If you've been paying any attention up to this point, you recall that I believe that God couldn't just make all of us saved. God couldn't simply speak salvation into existence as God spoke creation into existence. For we've all been created in the image of God with the gift of free will, the ability to choose, the ability to want to. For want to is so much more liberating, more empowering, more godlike than have to. Thus, God needed to provide a solution for our separation that wouldn't negate our free will, a solution that we would want to embrace. Thus, we would choose to embrace. This means that God needed to provide a solution for our separation that would be visible, relatable, transferable, and teachable to and for all people. With all of this as background, how else would you suggest that God offer salvation to the world? How else would you suggest that God offer a way to overcome our sinfulness? How else would you suggest that God offer salvation without robbing us of our own free will? See, God didn't need to come as Jesus in order to save us. God could have saved us in any number of ways. The fact of the matter is this, because we're all created in the image of God with the gift of free will, we needed God to come as Jesus in order for all of us to be saved. Dare I say, if you have a problem with any of this, the problem that you have isn't with the fact that humanity is sinful. Your problem isn't even with the fact that there are things in your life, thoughts, feelings, attitudes, and biases that separate you from God. Your problem is that the solution that was given to all of humanity is found in the life, death, and resurrection of one guy who lived in a strange, faraway land many years ago. Your problem is that you disagree with God's choice of the pathway to salvation for all people, which, by the way, is your prerogative. Your ability to have a problem with believing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life is a gift from God. The gift of free will. For God wants you to want to believe. God doesn't want you to have to believe. You have questions that you can't answer. You don't understand why God has done what God has done. Yes, you might get why God wanted to do something, why God wanted to save all of us, but you don't understand why it had to be Jesus. Why did God have to come and live as one of us and die for us? So that our separated relationships with God could be fixed? Deep down in those places that you don't talk about, you have a much better plan for the salvation of the world. If God would leave it up to you, you would do it differently. Yet, let's be honest. If God did it your way, save the world through your plan, how many people would disagree with it, dispute it, and not believe it? For we can never forget that the gift of free will, the gift of choice, has been given to all of us. For we have all been created in the image of God. Thus, it doesn't really matter how God decides to save us. For whatever the vehicle, there would still be people complaining about it and making the choice not to believe it. And pressing you even further on this, let's face it. You bought a car without knowing everything there was to know about owning a car, because you wanted a car. You bought a house without knowing everything there was to know about being a homeowner, because you wanted a house. Heck, you've even fallen in love without knowing everything there is to know about the person with whom you fell in love, because you wanted to fall in love. Yet, for some reason, when it comes to Jesus, you believe that you have to have everything figured out. You have to have all of your questions answered, all of your I's dotted and your T's crossed. You want to have salvation your way before you'll give faith in anything a try. Somehow, somewhere, some way, somebody taught you that you have to have all the answers before you can make the choice to follow Jesus. Yet, in car ownership, home ownership, love, and let's be real, every other aspect of your life, you accept the fact that you don't know everything. But you still make the choice to act because you want to, even though you don't know everything or have all the answers. But for some reason, you don't apply this exact same logic to a relationship with Jesus. For some reason, you feel that you need to have everything proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. You have to have all of your questions answered before you'll make a commitment. Well, all I have to say is thank God that all of us don't live with this exact same perspective in every aspect of our lives. I thank God that we all jump in headfirst to so many aspects of our lives without knowing everything. That we jump in believing that we will find all of our answers as we go, or, at the very least, we'll realize that our questions are no longer important or relevant. So, on this island, you're invited to ask yourself this question. What's holding me back? What's stopping me from committing my life to the care and control of Jesus? I don't know your specific reasons, but I do know that it all boils down to one simple common denominator. You don't want to. If you haven't already committed your life to the care and control of Jesus, it's because you don't want to. Now, you might not want to because of something that has happened to you. Maybe you had a bad experience with a church or with another person who claimed to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe you've been taught that being a follower of Jesus is for weak people who can't handle life on their own. Or maybe you don't want to follow Jesus because nobody has ever walked with you to introduce you to Jesus and invite you to make the choice to follow. You don't want to because you don't know. Well, on this island, you're invited to wrestle with all of these questions and many others that might be preventing you from committing your life to the care and control of Jesus. For God wants you to be saved. Do you want to be saved? God wants to be involved in every intricate aspect of your life. Do you want to have God involved in every intricate aspect of your life? God wants to help you be all that you've been created to be. Do you want to be all that God has created you to be? Like it or not, the choice has been made to save all of us, to give all of us a right relationship with God through faith in one person, Jesus. Oh, and as Rush so eloquently put it in their song aptly titled Free Will, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. So, denying that you have to decide about Jesus is simply your decision about Jesus. What's holding you back? From one sinful person to another, please know that you don't have to live separated from God. You have the possibility and the opportunity of salvation. You aren't doomed, cursed, or damned to live as someone who is separated from God. And this truth doesn't mean that you're going to have to be a Bible thumping, hallelujah praising, give up all your worldly possessions, never doubting, never slipping up, always being a perfect person. You can simply be you, right here, right now, in an intimate relationship with the one who created you.
Hey there, it's Tammy Cullen. Island Hopping is a production of Journey to Be Ministries and is sponsored by Beneva Christian Church. You can find Beneva Christian on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, as well as their website, benevachristian.com. If you'd like to contact my brother-in-law, David, just drop him an email at islandhoppingpodcast@gmail.com.